possible demise for a newspaper legend. The 170-year-old Cleveland Plain Dealer reaches nearly a million readers a week, but its owner, Advance Publications, has been shrinking some of its other legacy papers, including 3 print editions now per week for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. And some reporters and community members worried about the Plain Dealer started a Save the Plain Dealer campaign over the weekend. There's been no comment on the future of the paper from Advance Publications. Reporter Rachel DeSalle and science writer John Mangles are part of the Save the Plain Dealer initiative. A few weeks ago, they sat down with us and explained why the print edition of the paper is, in their view, irreplaceable.
Recently here in Cleveland, we had a really large federal corruption probe that we covered for 3.5 years. And as part of that, we probably requested 200,000 or 300,000 public records. I don't think that anybody using social media on Twitter or anywhere else is going to have the personnel to request 200,000 or 300,000 public records, keep on the public officials to get them, go through them and tell you what they mean. And I think that's why it's important to have that institution that's going to be that watchdog. But I think when it comes to those things that are really important to the community, and this corruption probe, you know, really resulted in a change to our county government. We have a whole new government basically because of it. And the reporting was so vital to tell everybody what was going on. That's not going to happen even if every person in the community is tweeting.
Rachel and John, the history of Cleveland is a history of gigantic struggles between institutions that ostensibly are for the people and huge corporations that in many cases transformed the world. If you're talking about Standard Oil, that began really here in Cleveland. What is at the bottom of this struggle right now? Is it corporate greed? Is it time passing? Is it the future catching up with the past?
You know, we're struggling with what every old line newspaper is struggling with, which is how to reinvent yourself, realizing that the web is here, advertising dollars are not, subscribers are migrating. We've got to figure out the digital side of things. I think the problem that we see with the advanced model that's being tried in other cities is it seems to abandon what we do best, our core competency, which is really deep dive journalism. If you get rid of that, we're like everybody else. We've lost that competitive edge, and it's really hard to see how we will stand out, how we'll compete, how we'll make money, which is what we need to do in order to fund that journalism.
And I think that we Clevelanders, we do not like to be kicked. We do not like to be disrespected. And as I've talked to many people about this, we've drawn a comparison between, you know, this and what was happening with the Cleveland Browns, and talked to people saying, you know, you can't take our team and you can't take our paper either. You know, people have those ties to this thing, this newspaper. And I think that we completely understand that though we are sentimentally in some ways tied to newsprint, that we won't always be. But what we don't want to do is be diminished as an organization and our ability to have enough people to ask enough questions and tell enough stories so that we can be a powerful voice, whether, you know, it's on a digital platform or whether it's on a newspaper platform. And the other thing that's really troubling about this is we know in the city of Cleveland that about half of the households, if not more, don't even have the internet.
If we look at a possible model for other communities, if the Daily goes away, could you still have an investigative component that wouldn't require daily publication, daily updating?
I think the answer is a tentative yes, and that's something that a lot of people are experimenting with and that we're looking at. There are models out there that involve working with NPR, for example, or working with foundations. I think there are ways of conceiving that some kind of investigative journalism can go on. We hope so.
I think you have to have the people, though, and that's one thing that kind of gets lost in this when we've looked at cuts at the Times-Picayune and the papers in Syracuse and in Harrisburg, is that I don't know how you're going to keep putting out quality news to compete once you figure out that model if you have so few people doing it that all you can do is post news about traffic accidents and murders.
Finally, you mentioned the Cleveland Browns a moment ago and that their survival was a piece of the sort of collective respect here in the community of Cleveland. What's a bigger challenge, getting the Browns to the Super Bowl or saving the Plain Dealer as we've known it?
Or getting the Indians to the World Series? We've got a lot of challenges here.
I would hope that when the Browns win the Super Bowl, we're still here to report on it.
Rachel and John, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Reporter Rachel DeSalle and science writer John Mangles of the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Thank you. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.